This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way. You're listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 241 for the week ending Saturday, September 27th, 2014. Good morning and welcome. I'm your captain in Roswell, Georgia. Captain Jeff here. And joining me today from Oklahoma is Mr. Steve Nelson.
And hello, everybody. I'm Steve, apparently.
Well, what did I call you? Didn't I call you Steve?
Well, he said, I'm the captain, so I guess I'm the Steve.
Oh, you're the Steve. Yeah, well, see, you know, my thing, my music goes, I'm the captain, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I should drop that. And from Malta, Montana, Father Corey Stika.
Good morning, everyone. I guess I'm the priest, if we're going to keep with that theme.
Okay. I'm the priest. I'm the Steve. And I'm the captain. Yeah, it's an all-guy show this morning. You're watching the Catholic Weekend Man Cave. The Man Cave show. And what we're going to talk about this morning is sports. And
sports. Well, we should have Father Darryl on then,
yeah,
too.
We should. And Father Darryl, are you there? Are you watching? Are you listening? Join us. Come on. We'll send you the link. But all the women decided that, you know, there was just too much testosterone in this world, so they decided to bug out.
You know, that's not right, no.
That's not right, no.
But they just couldn't make it today.
Yeah, they're, you know, one thing or another, there were issues. So here we are for this week's episode of Catholic Weekend, and we're glad to have everybody in the chat room with us, joining us, so we don't feel like we're entirely alone. And there's at least one female there that I can see on the chat room board, and that's Miss Lynn Francisco. So anyhow, how has your week been? Steve, tell us, have you had a nice, relaxing, laid-back week?
Well, you know, as some of you know, I started a new job 3 weeks ago, so I'm still drinking from the fire hose, as they say. There's all kinds of things for me to learn that's new, and I'm enjoying it, but, you know, I haven't quite reached the top of that mountain yet. It's going to be probably another 2 years before I feel like I know everything that I need to know.
So remind us again, what is your actual position with the fraternity?
I'm the National Executive Director of Kappa Kappa Psi and Tau Beta Sigma. Kappa Kappa Psi and Tau Beta Sigma Kappa Kappa Psi was an all-male fraternity and Tau Beta Sigma was an all-female sorority, but they've both become co-ed organizations because of Title IX and all that back in the 70s. So they're music, leadership, service organizations on college campuses. And, you know, we have, I don't know, about 10,000 members, active student members.
Is this a fraternity that's active in pretty much most of the larger universities in the States?
Most of the larger ones and quite a few small ones as well. I mean, any school, any college that has an active band program, it's very likely they might have one or both of our organizations on their campus.
How about Georgia Tech? Do you know if they have a chapter?
They have in the past. I don't know all of the chapters right now, but they have in the past.
Okay. I went there my freshman year, and they really didn't have a band.
Oh, well.
No, there was one, actually, but it just wasn't very good.
I'm not going to come back.
Okay, we won't go into that. All right, so, do you have to, is this going to involve a lot of traveling, or do you just spend a lot of time on the phone with all these different chapters? Or?
You know, it's everything. I do have some travel planned, because one of the big things I have to do is every 2 years we have a national convention, and it's about it's a 12-day convention with about 1,000 people.
Wow.
So it's a lot bigger than the CNMCs I used to organize.
12 days?
Well, it starts with, you know, board meetings and council meetings and training sessions for student leaders, and then it evolves into the national council. So it starts with meetings of about 20 people and ends with meetings of about 1,000 people.
Holy moly.
Yeah, so it's quite the deal. But I have some travel coming up because right now we're looking at a site for our 2017 convention. Mm. So I'll be going out to Orlando to look at some things, Memphis.
Darn.
So what's the have they already had this year's convention?
Well, they have them every 2 years.
Oh, I
see. So they had one in summer of 2013, and then in 2015, we're going to be in Lexington, Kentucky. And most of that's already planned out before I took over. So, you know, I'm looking down the road two or three more years, you know.
That's UK territory, right? The Royal Blue.
Yeah. Yeah. University of Kentucky. And I like that area of the country because it's a real transition area, you know, like. You got Ohio, you've got Kentucky, you've got Tennessee, you've got the South and the North kind of all mixing together right there. I like that area of the country.
It's really pretty too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The bluegrass. Oh, right. Well, very good. Father Corey, how about yourself? How has your week been?
Well, going pretty good. I can't say it wasn't too hectic of a week. I had lots of things going on, but you know, usual stuff in life of a priest. Kind of funny. We had snow, what is it, a week or two ago, and now then this week we had 90s.
Wow.
Life in Montana.
Yeah.
Nice to get one last gasp of summer before the cold and the rain. Well, like today now it's kind of cool and rainy. It's 50s, and it's just kind of a miserable day. Good day to stay inside and be a bum. But other than that, pretty good. Yesterday I had two funerals. And that was interesting. Two different cemeteries, two funerals. One of them was the full mass, everything. The other side was just a graveside. And it was a little bit hectic, but it was a good thing.
When I go to a funeral, even if I don't know the people there, I get all caught up in the emotion, you know, people crying. And it's just, are you ever affected by that as a priest?
A little bit. Admittedly, I tend to be a little bit more cold-hearted than some people are, but
that's what we've heard about you.
Definitely get caught up in that. Mm-hmm. You definitely get caught up in that. You know, you just kind of get the general vibes of everyone that's there, the general emotional state of everyone there, but not as bad as, you know, like breaking down in tears, fortunately, mm-hmm. or anything like that. But it can mellow you, that's for sure. You know, kind of more of a mellow feeling mm-hmm. at that time.
I guess it's kind of like being a surgeon or something like that, where you're dealing with people that are, you know, close to death and that kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know, with families and everything else. It's just, I don't know. I think I'd be an emotional wreck. I mean, when I get all, you know, the saying, you know, all choked up, mm-hmm. I think it's comes from the fact that some of us, like me, when I get emotionally upset, I don't know what happens to my muscles in my neck, but it kind of, they constrict or tighten sure. up my vocal cords and I can't even talk. I can't right. sing. I can't talk. It's just, I would be a mess if I had to officiate or whatever, celebrate these important
things. I think guys suffer from that more because it's, you know, we try to contain our emotions.
Yeah. Exactly.
Instead True. Of just howling, you know.
Yeah. Right. Just let it go. Just let it go.
Yeah.
Like the wailing you often see in the movies, you know, the women are sitting there wailing and, you know, on their knees and tear and
gnashing
anguish.
Of teeth.
No, right.
That's something you know, else.
The men are out chopping wood because that's how they express their emotions.
Go kill something.
So kind of the cycle of life that you deal with, especially as a priest. And one of the beautiful things in life, Father, is when two people come together in the holy sacrament of matrimony.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything in the news at all out there in Montana regarding that?
About marriage? Oh, there might be one or two things. We have a...
Pretty good, you know, whatever.
What yeah, is it called? Nice segue.
Segue,
perfect.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Too bad it's the issue is not the sacrament of matrimony, but a very strong misconception of it that's popular in our culture today.
Oh.
Yeah,
do tell.
I'm sure many of our listeners, viewers might have seen the news, might have just passed by, that a parish in Lewistown, Montana, which is about 140 miles from here, just south of me, basically, it's kind of my southern neighbor, if you will, is dealing with a couple of guys who decided they could go to Seattle and get a civil union. and a new priest. They did this about a year and a half ago, give or take. And a new priest came in August, first assignment for this new priest on his own. He's only been a priest for 2 years. And he found out that they were civilly married. Well, he goes and talks to him and says, you know, this is in complete opposition to what the church teaches on marriage. This is a scandal. And you can't receive the sacraments. You can't be involved in any ministry in the church. Now, be clear, the word excommunication did not come out in this conversation, as far as I know. But you can't be involved in any ministries of the church until you rectify the situation, meaning you got civilly union, you got into a civil union, you can get civilly divorced. You have to renounce this gay marriage, so-called same-sex marriage. And they just said nope, and they took it to the press. So now it's big news. Of course, the local newspapers are really eating it up. Both the Great Falls and Billings papers have had article after article after article about this couple. And some have been better than others. Some have been more fair. The first one that came out of the Great Falls Tribune was basically, oh, look at how wonderful this couple is, and isn't the church mean for doing that? And it hasn't gotten much better, unfortunately. They didn't even bother to interview like the bishop or the priest or anybody. And I'm sure the priest, I haven't seen him say anything, so I'm sure he was instructed by the bishop, don't talk to the press. Just let us do it. Let the diocese do it. There's actually a really good article in the Catholic News Agency on their site about this, and they did a very good job. They talked with our Vicar General and discussed the issue that's going on. Talked with Dr. Ed Peters, the canonist, who absolutely agrees with what the priest did. The bishop, by the way, is backing the priest 100%. I think the priest actually was on the phone with the bishop as soon as he found out there was an issue, mm-hmm. which was a smart thing to do. So right. I think it sounds like the bishop's been in the loop pretty much from the beginning. So the priest has been doing what he needs to do, and it's not a pleasant circumstance. People kind of let in a bigger, I was seeing people were laughing because one of the articles said, well, 40 people left the church, left the parish. And in a big city, that's like 40 people. Yeah. That's no big deal. I mean, that's maybe 1% of a weekend attendance. Mm-hmm. Well, in a big city, it is. In a small town like Montana, that could easily be a quarter of a weekend. That would be a quarter of our weekend attendance. Right. So you imagine what that would look like in a bigger parish. So it's kind of interesting to view, to watch that going on. Admittedly, I thank God that I'm not the one down there having to deal with it.
Well, it just, the lack of education. I mean, he was, in his own way, was being charitable to these mm-hmm. guys, because of the scandal and the sin. But nobody wants to listen to that side of it. They just think he's, the church is being heavy-handed and mean. And
why can't that Catholic church just come, modernize, kind of mm-hmm. conform to the times and society and, those poor men, oh, I feel so sorry.
Well, I had that someone say that last night they're in a committed relationship and I disagree with the church. And I looked at him and said, well, just because you disagree doesn't mean you're right. And this is going against Christ. This, our Lord's own words say that marriage is a union between a man and a woman. He doesn't say that, there's a passage of, this is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife. He doesn't say wife or other man. Mm-hmm. It's a hard situation to be in for the church, and especially for priests and the bishops in these situations, because we have to uphold the teaching of the church. We have to stand there and say, no, really, marriage is between a man and a woman. This is how God designed it to be. This is how it's going to be until the end of time. And no matter how many laws and no matter how many people think it feel good to do it, we can't change it.
Mm-hmm. So obviously these men probably know what the teaching of the church is regarding this. And if they didn't before now, they do now. Mm-hmm. And you said that they're involved in the ministry of worship,
right.
Both the music and also extraordinary minister of communion. That kind
yeah,
of thing.
I can't remember what all they were involved in, but I know they were involved in very active in the parish.
So it's obvious, different. You know, it's obvious that they know a little bit more than it seems that they would know a little bit more than the average, you know, congregant.
You would hope so, especially since one of them was a priest in Seattle at one point.
Oh, okay. Nice little twist there. So why doesn't I don't quite get why don't they go to a place where they're going to feel welcomed and feel like they're not, you know, stepping on people's toes and, mm-hmm. and you know, going to a church, say, the Episcopal Church or some other.
You know, right. I mean, and it's something that I don't understand, and it's something that I think a lot of people, I'm going to say my generation, but, you know, say 40s and younger, we really don't understand is this idea of I'm Catholic because I've always been Catholic and will always be Catholic till the end of my life. And what that means, it's cultural Catholicism. I'm Catholic because my family was Catholic. I'm going to go to the Catholic Church, but I don't understand what it means to live a Catholic life. I don't understand what it means to allow the teachings of the church to convert me, to change me, to make me into what Christ wants me to be. They don't understand that. All they know is, gee, we like being Catholic. We like the church. We like the people in the church, we like being around, you know, joke about the smells and the bells, but a lot of times that's the kind of thing that people want. Mm-hmm. And as far as the teachings are concerned, they can take them or leave them. And unfortunately, you get a couple like this where it's leave them, at least as far as the sacrament of marriage is concerned. And it's a hard, like I said, I don't understand that, and I don't think many people my age do, because there more and more people young, again, 40, let's say 40 and under, I'm using 40 just as kind of a good round number, are basically, you know, if we don't want that, we're just not going to show up. This idea, well, you know, for example, the idea that, oh, when they have kids, they'll come back, mm-hmm. doesn't happen anymore. A lot of people don't. Their kids aren't being baptized. They're not coming back to Mass. They're going elsewhere, or they're just not going. Because, you know, if I had the choice, sleeping in on Sunday sounds pretty good to me too, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't understand why they have that, we have to change the church in our image.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
I really, and I guess it's, you can kind of compare this to people who are Jewish, you know, they, mm-hmm. but because of their heritage, but they never go to temple and, mm-hmm. and follow mm-hmm. The rules of their religion. It's just it's a cultural thing. So I guess the same thing applies here for a lot of a lot of Catholics.
I mean,
it's,
well, every religion has that. Yeah. You know, I visited Turkey some years ago, and you know, by default, everybody who's born in Turkey is listed as Muslim by mm-hmm. default. And you know, and so I was talking with him, goes, yeah, officially I'm Muslim, but I've never been. I never go. You know, I don't practice or anything like that. And it's the same thing.
Yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. so it's not just a Christian problem. It's not just a any religious problem. It's
you know, like 20 or 30 years ago, I think if you asked somebody, or like you know you're filling out your information for the Air Force or whatever military service, you know, they say mm-hmm. what religious affiliation, or you know you talk to anybody on the street, you know, what's your religious affiliation? Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, correct. Whatever. Now, though, I'm wondering if you did that today and we went out in the street and said, what's your religious affiliation? I'm wondering if a lot of people would say, nothing. You know, I have no affiliation. That would have been unheard of back, you know, when we were kids. You know, almost anybody would just automatically pick one of the, you know, one of the mm-hmm. faiths.
Yeah. And the one that makes, you know, no sense to me is, you know, like, I'm spiritual.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not religious. And I was like, well, that just means nothing.
No, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. I hear that all the time.
That means nothing. That means you don't want to come down on any sort of team.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I can't remember the numbers, but there was a survey a few years ago that did just that. It was just a couple of years ago. And it was one of these Pew or Gallup or one of these, you know, big survey organizations. And the number of people who voted as nuns, no religious observance whatsoever, not even atheists, just nothing was, I want to say 20%, 15%. I can't remember the exact number, but it was really high. And it's just, and it wasn't, again, that they were atheists protesting against any kind of religious views. It was, they had none. They didn't care. So yeah. It's interesting.
Well,
other
well,
side of the spectrum.
Yes, Steve.
Speaking of sports.
Wow, that's nice segue. Wow.
No, I was just thinking, I've been following, some of us follow Paul Camerata on social media, who, he used to put out the Saint Cast podcast, and I hope he still will someday.
Yeah.
But if you know Paul well enough, you know he's a big fan of the Kansas City Royals football team. And he put out some tweets last night. You could tell just how happy he was because the Royals have made the playoffs for the first time since 1985, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And, Paul's always been a real avid supporter of them, goes to a lot of the games and things like that. So I'm happy for Paul. Mm-hmm. His team made it to the playoffs.
I was in Kansas City earlier this week, and I think when they clinched the playoff berth, and they're excited there in Kansas City. I'm so happy for them.
That's good. That's also where the Padley, Pat Padley and his wife live, and so I know Pat is also happy about that.
Is it a bad thing if I say that? Is not just that a good thing, but it's also a good thing that Derek Jeter is not going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Whoa, you just upset a lot of people, I think.
I'm sorry. I'm tired of hearing the captain is playing his last game at. The captain is, I don't care about Derek Jeter.
So they call him the captain. So
you're part of that. I'm your
captain. Yeah, exactly.
You either love the Yankees or you hate the Yankees, right? Yeah, so I kind of know where you fall on that line.
Oh, those Yankees. Those Yankees.
Well, my brother and his daughter, my niece, I don't know, for whatever reason, they're Yankees fans, and they actually took a trip to go up to watch Jeter play one of his last games. So
I'm stifling a tear. I'm so upset. I guess they said this is the first time in quite some time that both the Red Sox and the Yankees are not in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Kind of surprising.
Of course, the Catholic team made it, the Cardinals.
Of course. They should.
Ah, I get you. Okay. Okay. Well, hey, speaking of beer, what is going on in Montana regarding beer and breweries and that kind of thing?
Another nice segue.
Thank you.
Baseball and beer go together.
Yeah, well, you know, sports, the previous one. Beer, you know, got to fill in the blank.
Was mentioning to these two before the show, before we went live on the air, that we have our annual Brew Fest here in Malta. So we get to get together tonight and try some beers from the Lewis and Clark Brewery in Helena, which I've never tried any of their beers. I'm looking forward to it. I've heard really good things about it. But there's food and beer and prizes and all kinds of good stuff. So that's always a good thing. If you can find something like that to go to, whether, you know, a little small town like Malta or a big place, it's always worth doing, going to try some of these beers. And of course you get the, you know, socialization aspect, you get to go and visit with people and just have a good time, you know.
Sounds good to me.
You know, Sarah wasn't closer, could invite her, you know. She likes a beer or two once in a while.
Mm-hmm. I tried something new this week. I don't know if I actually was it last week. I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but there's a local brewer here called Prairie Artisan Ales.
Oh, interesting.
And they make these stout beers, but it's a mixture. They put like coffee and chocolate and vanilla and stuff in it.
Oh, yeah. You were telling us about that.
Yeah. I tell you, it's a potent brew. Yeah. I took some over to my friend Jim Fox. He was celebrating his 30th birthday. And we could only split one of those. You know, it took us... We sipped on it for about a half an hour. Each of us had a half a glass, and I tell you, it's potent. It's almost good stuff, but it's
almost like a barley wine or something.
Dinner drink.
Yeah. A listener to my airline pilot guy show sent me an email, and said that I don't want to disturb you too much, but they say that the price of beer is going to go up next year because of all the badly timed rain in Montana and a couple other states.
Idaho, Montana, and North Dakota. Yep.
And that's because that causes the grain to sprout prematurely?
Yeah, we had, this was probably about 3-4 weeks ago. We had a weekend where it just rained and rained and rained right in the middle of harvest. You know, this is primetime harvest season. End of August, September is primetime harvest season. And right in the middle of it, we had this rain where there was, within this area, you know, and this is wheat growing area where I live, at least north of here especially, we had anywhere from 4 to 8 inches, in some places even as much as a foot of rain over the weekend. And because of that constant steady rain, it did cause, well, first of all, the ground becomes soaked, so they can't get these big heavy pieces of equipment into the field, otherwise they're going to sink to their axles. And some farmers did. Also, again, you have this problem where then the grain is sitting there, it's wet, the germinating process starts. And that really affects the ability because they can't use germinated grain, germinated barley, to mold, as I understand it.
Yeah, they gotta harvest it when it's before it sprouts, and then they actually have a controlled sprouting on a big floor.
Exactly. Yeah, right. I mean, molting is a controlled germination. I mean, just a little bit. Just enough to get those sugars going, and then they
stop. I mean, if you try to harvest it when it's wet, you're going to get mold problems and all kinds of things.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, farmers, they really do have to put up with a lot. You know, just so much has to work out just right. You know, the temperatures have to be right, the water's got to be right, the timing's got to be right, the sun. You know,
get enough sun, but not too much. Get enough rain, but not too much. Shut the rain off the right time of year.
It's amazing we have any food at all.
You know, I was looking on the on Google Maps to see exactly where Malta is. I didn't realize how close you are to the Canadian border. I mean, you're way up there in Montana. I figured you were closer to you're in the diocese of Billings, but Billings is like way south.
Oh yeah, well, it's Great Falls, Billings, both Great Falls and Billings are 200 miles away from here, and Billings is due south.
Yeah,
we're actually only about 60 miles from the Canadian border.
Wow. How often do you get to see your bishop?
Oh, a few times a year, a couple times a year. We'll have priests. We have like two priest assemblies a year. We have a priest retreat in Red Lodge, which is a beautiful area. That's right at the foot of the Beartooth Mountains, and just beautiful area. So we'll see them there. We'll have meetings. I'm on the priest council now, so I have to get to see him there. Actually, I'm the chair of the priest council now. Woohoo. So I get to at least visit with him via conference call. But a couple of times a year, we'll get to see him. It's not like it's a regular thing. Obviously, the closer you are to Great Falls, the more likely you are to see him, since that's where the chancery office is.
Wow. I mean, that must be really different than what you know, some of your priest friends in other dioceses have to deal with. Yeah.
Well, it was kind of funny. A couple of weeks ago, the bishop came through. He was up in the town of Plentywood, which is the far northeastern corner of the diocese. It's probably about 250 miles from here. And then he had to go to Great Falls. He was up there for the weekend doing masses, and he had to be back in Great Falls on Monday morning. So Sunday night, he drove here and stayed overnight here because I've got a guest suite that he could use, you know, a decent guest suite, stayed overnight here and then drove on. And I posted that on, you know, Twitter or whatever, and people were just absolutely amazed. Your bishop stayed in your house? Wow. It's like, it's not that big of a deal. It's a long distance and better than him getting a hotel.
Great.
Yeah.
But that's cool. Kind of that's life in a very rural diocese, you know. Man. People, I joke about it, but it's true. You know, I drive 100 miles on a weekend. I don't think anything of it. We've got a meeting. We drive 200 miles to Great Falls or Billings, and we just don't think anything of it. You got to do it. You just plan for it.
Yeah. I lived out in the sort of the desolate parts of West Texas and eastern New Mexico, and it's not not quite that bad. I mean, we'd have to drive a couple of hours to get, mm-hmm. you know, to one of the cities, but yeah, you just sort of, it just becomes a part of life, you know, that's just the way you do things. But yeah. I imagine his confirmation season is interesting.
It is. Actually, they had to cut it down a couple of years ago. He went into the hospital with exhaustion after he finished up all his confirmations.
Oh my gosh.
Cause he was driving so much, and he would do 2-3 confirmations on a day where he would, like, he'd have 9 o'clock mass in one parish and do a confirmation, drive to the next parish, have, you know, noon confirmation, drive to the next parish, have 5:30 at night confirmation. And yeah, it was pretty insane. So they cut it down quite a bit. You know, number of parishes will only see him every other year, for example.
Goodness.
Well, speaking of saints, another great segue. You hear that in the background there? That music coming in? Here come the saints. They go marching in. And
are we talking about saints?
Yeah. Saints baseball. Wait a minute. No. They're a football team. Well, anyway, let's move on with our Saints of the Week. It's that time of the show to do that. Today's feast day is St. Vincent de Paul. And tomorrow, Lynn did this list for us, and she said, well, if it had not been Sunday, it would have been St. Lorenzo Ruiz of Manila. Yeah. Lynn is of Philippine descent. And let's see, Monday, we have Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, the old archangels on Monday. They're very, very powerful intercessors for us. Tuesday, September 30th, St. Jerome, and then October 1st, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, October 2nd, the Holy Guardian Angels. Well, this is a big week. We have the Archangels and then the Holy Guardian Angels. It's kind of Angel Week. And then St. Theodora Guerin, how do you pronounce that? Guerin. That's on next Friday, and then next Saturday, I believe, is St. Francis of Assisi.
Big day for all of our Franciscans and Capuchin friends.
Yeah, absolutely. So
St. Theodore Guerin is an American saint, a U.S. saint.
Oh, really? I didn't know
that.
She
founded monasteries and schools in Illinois and Indiana.
How about that?
Oh, I've heard her name. Yeah.
Yes, it was a couple of years ago she was canonized. I can't remember exactly when. 2006. Cool. There we go. I just looked it up.
Oh, so she's one of the recent saints.
Wonder. Yeah, so
Mike Kuyper's in the chat room says, hooray for St. Michael.
Yeah.
Obviously, namesake. Awesome. All right. Well, there are your Saints of the Week for this upcoming week. And I guess this is also be a good time for me to do our little promotion of the Friends of SQPN, sponsors of this show and all the other ones at SQPN. By the way, if you want to sponsor a show, that's another way you can support the network. You can head over again to the SQPN.com website, and right in the middle there's an item that says donate, and if you click on that, it drops down a couple things. Personal donations, you know, the Friends of SQPN, we've talked about that before. You can start a periodic or a recurring kind of donation, you know, like $5, $10 a month or more, or a one-time donation there. And if you want, or you want to contribute by sponsoring an individual show, that's available there as well. So click on that link, and then you'll find out information about how you can, you know, sponsor the show by putting out your personal message, something, maybe you have a book that you've written, or you have a blog that you want to promote, or whatever. That's a great way to do that. So again, opportunities for helping out the StarQuest Production Network are there on sqpn.com/donate. Also, Amazon. You'll see the links right there on the website as well. If you do online shopping, Amazon.com is a great place to do it, especially if you have that Prime service, which I do. I love it. If you click on that link before you do your shopping on Amazon.com, it helps the network by giving us a small percentage of your purchase. And it doesn't cost you any more. So check that out on sqpn.com. And then finally, if you are thinking about starting your own blog or your own podcast, your own whatever, you need hosting, bluehost.com is a great place to do it. Again, that's there on the sqpn.com website. Click on the banner. If you sign up with Bluehost, we get a nice little fee from them, or a little something from them, which is really nice. So, and that is it for the sponsors of our show. By the way, if you'd like to send feedback to Catholic Weekend, you can do that by sending it to catholicweekend@sqpn.com. And we also have a feedback line, and that number is just up here. I had to scroll up here. 1-862-200-SQPN. Again, 862 is the area code, 200-SQPN, which I think is 7667, something like that.
7776? I don't remember.
7777. I don't know. Somebody get their keypad out. But anyway, it's SQPN, whatever that equates to. So check it out. And if you'd like to leave us feedback, we'd love to play it. So there you go. So.
And of course, the feedback next week is we don't have those three guys on alone. They need a woman to keep them in line.
Yeah, we don't want.
Hey,
I don't think
this is going better than the last time we had one of these all male.
We don't need any negative feedback. No negative vibes. Come on, we need positive feedback. Yeah.
So speaking of St. Francis, yeah. Father, are you having a blessing of pets?
I probably should. We haven't done it here. Believe it or not. Really? Yeah, it's never been a tradition here as far as I know. It'd be fun to do. I don't know how many people would bring their pets, but it is fun. It's interesting though when you get a bunch of a big dog and a little dog starting to act like they want to go at each other. It's like, first of all, I wonder who would win that. Secondly, I don't want to get in the middle of it.
I've always wanted to do it with some really exotic animal, like bring an elephant or something,
Oh jeez. Be a good way to end up in the national news. Oh.
Especially if Father doesn't like animals.
Yeah.
I have a good priest friend here, and he absolutely just doesn't like animals, doesn't like pets or anything like that. But he still does the blessing. And you can just see on his face was like, I just got to get through this. Because I don't want to have to sit here and hold Fluffy and pet her and pretend I like Fluffy.
I loved it when this was before I even entered the seminary. I was helping out the priest at my parish do the blessing. I was holding the water while he was doing the blessing, and he came up to this big dog. And I don't know what type of dog this was, but this was St. Bernard sized dog. I don't think it was a St. Bernard, but it was the dog about that big, muscles, the whole works. And he was doing this. Blessing, and he walks up to this dog and goes, I'm taking my life into my hands with this one. Dog was friendly, but it was just, that big dog kind of checking him out, looking at him.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you kind of wonder how many times priests have to jump back because the dog doesn't like the fact they're being blessed.
Yeah. So maybe dog treats in one hand and the
aspergillum?
Yeah, I can never remember that word. It's a shaky thing.
Sprinkler.
No. Yeah.
Y'all carry on. I have something going on here.
Okay. No problem.
Okay.
Those blessings are always a lot of fun. They really are, and they're fun to see the animals. Of course, I like animals. I like dogs and cats, and don't have any myself, but they're sure fun. It's fun to see them, and especially if their animals are friendly. If they're open to the priest, at least approaching them without growling or snapping. Hey. That's all the better.
I Father Darrell, he has his, what kind of dog is she? Forgotten. Irish breed. It's the name. But Chloe, and he posts some of the great, great photos for that. I think all priests should have a dog if they can.
Yeah.
So, especially if they like pets, but.
Yeah. No, they're fun. I have to admit for myself, I barely take responsibility for myself, much less having another animal to take responsibility for.
Well, I'd love to have a pet. It's just that I seem to, I either going off to some other country or I have a job where I travel a lot or whatever, and it's just not fair to have a dog if the dog's
exactly
abandoned for a week at a time, you know?
Yeah. You know, and that's, I don't have a lot of that, but although, we do have our, when we do have our conferences, I'll be gone for almost a week. Mm-hmm. You know, that's always the tough part is what do you do with the dog when you're gone? And I'm sure I could find a parishioner who'd be willing to come over and, puppy sit, but still.
It's still, it doesn't turn out to be a good experience for either one of you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I'm
exactly.
back. Thank you for vamping for me, guys.
Oh, were you gone?
Yeah, I was gone. Something? I just got a call from Acme Airlines assigning me a trip that they need me to head down to Tampa and then come back tomorrow morning. So,
if we wrap this up, you got to hit the road.
Well, yeah, I think we can. Let's see, how much more time do we have remaining here? Looks like about just under 20 minutes. I guess we can go ahead and switch over to this part of the show, if you don't mind. Our picks of the week. Thanks to Pat Gohn for recording that for us. We need to have her on again sometime. We should have had her on this morning.
Yeah, there you go. Probably traveling and talking somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
She's busy.
Yeah. So anybody have a pick of the week?
I've got one. I can go ahead and start.
Okay.
Since I'm on a beer mood, we've got the Brew Fest tonight, and we went for some beers last night at a brewery over in Haver. I just found out about a brewery out of Chicago that I really would like to try. And not just because it sounds like the beer is really good, but because of what the brewery itself stands for. It's called the Veterans Beer Company. And the whole premise of this is to produce craft beer, microbrewed beer, but they hire only military veterans.
Oh, nice.
And of course, you know, Jeff is a veteran. I'm a veteran. You know, we've both served in the military. So this is something that is a little bit closer and dearer to our hearts. That, you know, our fellow veterans are able to find jobs, because I know it's a problem in many places that veterans come home and there's just not the jobs for them. You know, they get out of the military and there's nothing for them. Mm-hmm. So this beer company, this Veterans Brewing, they're going to hire veterans from everything, from the janitor all the way up to, I think, like the CEO is a veteran. The founder of it is a veteran. And like I said, it sounds like their beer is really good. I haven't tried it because it's only available in the Midwest, so Minnesota to Indiana, I think, basically, kind of along that upper tier of the Midwest. But it's just, I like the premise of this company, you know, putting out a good product, and again, you know, focusing on making sure that our military veterans get the jobs they need. You know, and even if this is just a temporary position for these veterans where they're only working there for a year or two to get themselves on their feet and back into civilian life, well, that's still a very good thing. You know, that gives them the stability they need to get a foundation in their life and then go from there. So yeah, if anybody wants to covertly send me some, because of course you can't just throw beer in the post office and ship it off. But
well, you're not supposed to, but you can.
You're not supposed to get found. It's very, very problematic, shall we say.
yeah, I can't even. Oklahoma doesn't allow that kind of stuff at all.
Oh, wow.
You can't order wine and have it shipped into Oklahoma.
Montana's the same way. Unless with certain restrictions, an individual can do it through, what do they call it? Like, I think it can't even be like UPS or FedEx. I think it has to be a shipping company that is certified for shipping beer.
Here it's all about taxes.
Yep.
About getting those taxes paid.
It was that way in Georgia until finally the legislature, you know, changed the laws. Mm-hmm. So, all right.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I'll keep an eye out for that. If I, you know, get up in that part of the country, I'd sort of like to try it and try to support that.
Yeah. Right now they're making only, there's only two beers they're making. One of them's a blonde. Here, I forgot to bring up their website so I could kind of say what they've got here. But it's, they're only making two beers right now. They call it, one's called the Veteran, which is an amber lager. And then the other one is the Blonde Bomber, which is a blonde ale.
The Blonde Bomber, I like that. Makes me think of, you know, Rosie the Riveter back in World War II, that kind of thing.
I was thinking of the pinup girls on the side that they painted on the side of the bombers.
Yeah.
Yeah. You shouldn't be thinking about those. Okay. Just kidding. Yeah. Okay. Great pick. You know what? I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep it right on the beer theme. How about that? And thank you to those of you in the chat room to help me with this. Our good friend and fellow podcaster and Catholic dad, Sean McCarney, Just a Catholic Dad. You may have heard of that show. Great show.
That's a good show. Yeah,
absolutely. His latest episode 127, I have not listened to yet, but apparently he talks about strong beers. And on his show notes, he had a link to high consumption website. The 10 strongest beers in the world will get you drunk fast. Now, that's not the reason. That's not a good thing. Maria's not here. This is not the reason why we are mentioning these strong beers. I just wanted to mention it because it's amazing that you can get a beer that has this high of alcohol level in it. And the number 10, I'll just mention a couple here. Number 10 comes in at 39%. Alcohol by volume. Yeah, 39%. Now, what?
80 proof?
What you have to do, that's 80 proof. What you have to do with these to get them to be this high is you have to, I think it starts off as with a beer yeast, and then you have to finish it with a couple of more like wine yeasts get the, because most beer yeasts at a certain alcohol level, they just die. They can't stand the alcohol. But, if you use like a champagne yeast or something like that, they can get it quite high. I didn't realize this high. But anyway, that's number 10. That's the lowest one on this list, 39%. It's Struys Black Damnation 6, Messy. Wow. And then it goes on to number 9, Balladin Esprit de Noël at 40%. And I'm gonna zoom all the way here to the top, number 1, on this list of the 10 strongest beers in the world. And you're not going to believe this. The name of the beer is Snake Venom. it's called Brewmeister Snake Venom, the world's strongest beer. It's made in Scotland. And the alcohol by volume is 67.5%. Wow.
Isn't that called rubbing alcohol at that point?
Yeah, I mean, that's... What proof would that be? That would be like 140 proof? 139? Yeah. Holy moly. You can buy a 9-ounce bottle of this bad boy for roughly $80 online.
Yeah.
I don't think I would enjoy something like that.
No, I wouldn't either. No. I don't even like... You know me, I like IPAs. But the double IPAs and some of these Imperial IPAs, the alcohol gets so high for me, it detracts from the taste of the beer, I think. And then not to mention the fact that you have a couple of sips and you go, wow, I can't even see straight anymore. I don't drink beer for that feeling. I drink beer because I like the taste of it.
Yeah. I got right out of that way in college,
Our local brewery has an IPA. I call it local. They're 90 miles away, but it's 9%. For their IPA. And it's very tasty. But yeah, it's one of those you can't have more than one and you start to feel really, really loopy really quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're sitting at home, you know, you have nowhere to go, you're not going to drive anywhere or walk anywhere, you know, have a glass of that. That would be perfectly fine. But
anyway. And I'm a lightweight here because in Oklahoma, the normal beer you buy, you know, when you go to the convenience store or the grocery store or whatever is 3.2% beer. And so you get used to having, you know, a couple of them with dinner, you know, because it's nothing. And then you go to a part of the country where it's not 3.2 beer. You try to have that same couple of beers and you're like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah. What happened to Steve? Oh, he's on the floor.
Yeah. That bad, but it does catch you by surprise, you know, like, oh, that was 2 beers, you know.
So anyway, that's my pick of the week. Thank you again, folks, for helping me out with that. The 10 strongest beers in the world will. Whatever. The link will be in the show notes. And a secondary pick, of course, our good friend Sean McCarney. Love him. Love his show. If you've never listened to it, you have to check it out. It's great.
Very good. Very good.
An SQPN affiliate podcast. Okay. And Steve, now your turn.
Well, I'm not going to talk about beer.
Oh. Okay.
No, and you know, somebody may have already used this as a pick at some point, but
that's okay. We do that all the time.
Yeah, well, you know, our good friend Lisa Hendy has a book coming out in November called The Grace of Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
the martini glass. Lisa,
yeah, it's the one. Yeah, I guess somebody has already mentioned that.
That's okay. Anyway, you mentioned it again.
I'm just, you know, first of all, I just, you know, Lisa's such a dear friend, and I love the books that she's put out. And this one, you know, is one that I'm really looking forward to, because she talks about the 8 spiritual virtues that she believes are foundational in the Christian life. And so it's a little different from some of the other books that she's written. So I'm really looking forward to this one coming out. So, you know, if you got, you know, I've already started Christmas shopping. Can you believe that? I can't believe it.
Ooh.
I never do this. But it's going to be on my list to give to a couple of people that I know. So.
Very look good. At that.
The Grace of Yes by Lisa Hendy. And I know you can find it on various places, but Amazon certainly one of them.
Absolutely.
But also, support your Catholic bookstore.
Go to yeah.
Go to
yeah.
those so, first, and if you don't have it,
yeah,
then go to Amazon.
If you don't have a Catholic bookstore, then you can go to SQPN.com, click on the Amazon link, and then do your shopping for Lisa and other Catholic authors' books there. But you're right, Steve. We need to support our local booksellers.
Well, I'm a big fan of the Catholic bookstores that we have here in Tulsa. We have 2 of them, and I'm so afraid that they're going to go out of business because they don't, you know, people shop online so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I always try to go there first and look, just because there's that, you know, when you don't have one, you really miss it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah, we've got kind of a small one in Billings, but that's about it for our diocese for having an actual Catholic bookstore. And it is, you do miss it when you just want to go pick something up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I'm a guy, I forget, you know, it's like, oh, I need a confirmation gift or a baptism gift or something. And mm-hmm. I usually remember like 2 days before the baptism, you know. So it's like, I'm really glad we got a store I can go to that's going to have something that I can buy.
You know, a Catholic bookstore was a big part or helped me through a large part of my conversion to Catholicism. A local bookstore, and ended up befriending the bookstore owner, and we call her our Catholic grandma, our Catholic mom, not Lisa Hendy. This is a different one, Ruth Applegate. And she owned the bookstore, and I spent a lot of time there, you know, buying books to helped me with my conversion to Catholicism, and then had a lot of wonderful, wonderful conversations with people in the store. And turns out that Ruth, in addition to owning the bookstore, she was also one of the teachers, facilitators, instructors for the RCIA program at the church that we came into the Catholic Church or the parish. And so anyway, a lot of fond memories of the Catholic bookstore and you know, having great conversation, great resource, et cetera. Yeah. So. All right. Well, let's see. Why don't you, Father Corey Stika, tell us about how we can learn more about you and any presence on the digital airwaves?
Well, easiest way to find me is on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, though I haven't been doing a lot of Instagramming, Google Plus as Fr. Corey Stika, last name spelled STICHA. My website, where I post my homilies every week, is frcorey.org. And I'm also on SQPN's Secrets of Doctor Who.
Excellent. How's that going along?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We're kind of getting a bit of a flow going. We're kind of getting a little more comfortable with each other. So it's going pretty well.
Good.
It's going pretty well. It's fun to do.
Excellent. And you can find that and other great podcasts by heading over to sqpn.com. Steve, how about yourself?
Everything at stavon.com. There's a new Catholic photo challenge up I put up last week. It's about stewardship. So if you have any kind of a photo that to you represents the things that you are a steward of, you know, it could be anything, post it over there. Go over to everythingisdavon.com and share that with us and why it's something you consider a part of your stewardship.
Excellent. Everythingisdavon.com. Let's see, on the Twitter... You're Steve_Nelson?
Yes. Very boring.
And
Nelson. Nothing cool, you know.
I guess Steve_Nelson was already taken by the time you signed up.
Pretty much every permutation of my name has already been taken everywhere.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a common
name. Very common names.
Yeah.
It's very hard to come up with something that actually has your name in it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad I got Steve underscore Nelson.
And you can find me at the Airline Pilot Guy or at Airline Pilot Guy on Twitter, Facebook at Airline Pilot Guy and airlinepilotguy.com. You see the theme? Okay. And that's where if you want to hear me babble on about, you know, flying and airline stuff and all that kind of stuff, that's where you go.
You said
babble. And I, babbling, like a Babylon brook. Babylon.
Yeah. Babylon.
Babylon, young man, Babylon. That's the title of the show. By the way, I just put out my last episode and it was under 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, I haven't been under 2 hours for probably almost 100 episodes.
I don't know how you could possibly talk that long.
Well, see, here's the deal. The show mostly,
I just don't understand it.
The most of the show is me answering people's questions. And I get so much feedback that it takes me that long to do it all. That's why. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it is a great problem to have. And we podcasters most complain that they don't get any feedback or not enough feedback. And my problem is that I get too much. So, I mean, I actually, and Father Corey can vouch for this, I'll actually say, hey, you know, like, could you like tone it down and, you know, like, don't send me some stuff for a while because I'm trying to work mm-hmm. through this backlog of feedback. But yeah, it kind of took me by surprise when I was recording my show on Wednesday. I thought, oh my gosh, looks like I'm actually going to get to all the feedback and it's going to end in less than 2 hours, 1 hour and 40 something minutes. So anyway, wow. Check it out at airlinepilotguide.com. And speaking of flying, looks like I need to end the show and put my uniform on and head to the airport, fly down to Tampa. So
all right.
I hope that everybody enjoys their weekend and week, and have a great Catholic weekend. Take care and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.